Hi, Grant Edwards again from Liberty NZ, and with me this evening is Kimberly Walker from New South Wales. No, Queensland.
Kimberly, Queensland. Regional Queensland.
Right. You know a little bit, well, quite a bit by the sound of it, about these 15-minute cities, which we're just starting to learn about, these medium or high-density buildings that the globalists want us to be shoveled into, to be moved into. Tell us what you know.
Okay, I know a little bit. It's something that my friend put me onto a few days ago, and I've done a little bit of research. So they call it Aotearoa 20-minute cities. The WESP are the ones organising and helping create this. They are a company from Canada. Now, what they want is, they say medium density living, but as we know, that will be high density living. And it will be everything you need in walking distance of 20 minutes. You'll live in just three cities. So you'll live in Auckland, Hamilton, and Tauranga. That's it. And they base their cities on four living functions. So they base it on enjoyment, so open spaces and cafes, supplying, so supermarkets, learning, primary schools, and caring, GPs. So it sounds lovely. I have my daughter living in Wellington, and she said, "This is great, Mum. It's great." And I'm trying to explain to her that it's not great at all. And it's just what, this isn't a new concept. This does happen around the world and has happened in different places. And they are, when you look at different places like Barcelona and Norway and that it's not going that great. People didn't realise that there's no room for cars. So, you know, they want non-motorised modes of transport. So you will, the core tenet of 20-minute cities is to improve equitable outcomes. Can you understand that, Grant?
No, because they use...
Because I know what equitable...
They use different language. It's like legalese. They'll say a word, but it doesn't mean what we think it means. In the dictionary, it means something else that they've invented. Yeah. That's what I've noticed.
Absolutely. Mm. So I understand equitable to be lower socio, bringing them up. They need to, how do I put it nicely? They need to be given more to become equal to, I don't know, whoever...
It sounds like they take from the people that are middle class and give to the poor, so that we're all poor. Is that what it sounds like to you?
Yes.
So instead, So instead of lifting them up to be at a happy level, they bring us down and use our money to make them happier.
Absolutely. So this is what they're looking at.
I don't like that. No, that's not. That's not what I want.
No. We have it. Yeah. We want to keep it. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Exactly. Anyway, so they're saying that ultimately the success of Aotearoa, or for Aotearoa, their words, New Zealand, would be in applying the Maori principles of sustainability and stewardship. I'm a quarter Maori. I don't speak Maori, but they're talking about kaitaikitanga. Sorry, I apologise if I've offended anyone because I don't speak Maori. And a 20-minute city in Aotearoa, New Zealand, could also look to and learn from papakainga, a collective form of Maori living. Does that make any sense to you?
So we have to live like that.
Yes.
What about the South Island? I like to go down to South Island, do a bit of hunting, do a bit of tramping. Are we not allowed to go down there anymore? Do we have to stay in Auckland, Hamilton, or what's the other one?
Absolutely.
Just three.
Auckland, Hamilton, Tauranga.
Yeah. Just those three.
Yeah, those three. So they will create living spaces where we can, we'll have like a green area. But I can just imagine when it's high density living, you won't see any piece of green because if you're on an airplane going across, all you'll see is, it'll look like a colony of ants, wouldn't it? So when I look at people.
I've just got a helicopter flying over, but who gets to go and visit all these other wonderful places? Are we not allowed to? Do we have to stay in our little jungle, our sort of our medium density?
They haven't said that yet, but I don't know if you know from Europe, they're now talking about doing little maps where people have an area and they're allowed to drive 15 minutes, and if they go past that area, they have to pay. So you put in a box.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. That's like free-range chickens.
Yes, it's all about control.
Do you know when?
I think they're saying...
No, carry on. You carry on.
No.
That train of thought.
I didn't hear when. But they are saying that you're allowed a certain amount of times where you can go past that little area that they put you in, past the 15 minutes drive, and then after a while, then you will be taxed for driving over 15.
What is the full name of the WSP that you mentioned? Do we know what that's an acronym for? But it's an old company, is it? It's a company that's been, or an organisation that's been around for a while, like the Fabian Socialists, that's been around for a long time.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
And do we know when they're going to push us into these cities, Auckland, Hamilton and Tauranga?
Let me have a look at my notes. I'm thinking... I saw 2048.
2048. Will I be dead by then? Let's hope so.
I probably won't.
I might be still kicking. I'll go kicking and screaming. Oh, dear. That just sounds awful. I've just got to... So it would be TAP. No, Tauranga, Auckland, Hamilton.
And
Hat.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll be as mad as a hatter if I have to live in one of those places. I don't even like Hamilton. Tauranga's okay.
No.
Auckland,
no.
I just escaped from Auckland. I don't really want to go back. So I won't be allowed to live up on the farm then. Up in, I better not say where. Up on the Whops, up in the far north. They probably won't let me live there.
No.
How will they get me off? Just load me onto a train, like 9:40, 9:39.
That's the thing. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, how they're going to make this all happen. What I find interesting is they've noted that they've got plenty of evidence from overseas, including Melbourne, Paris and Portland. Interesting places to include.
Oregon. All the Melbourne, worst Paris, places. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
All the real left.
The communists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not go there. They show compact and connected neighbourhoods do wonders for equality and opportunity, quality of life, the environment, and social community connection. Now, what I find very interesting about that is Dan Andrews, the Premier of Victoria over here, what he did to the people through COVID was criminal.
It was horrendous.
He locked them down.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I've got friends
so
in Melbourne.
So what I'm finding... Oh, okay. Mm. Okay, so you know exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. They liked Dan Andrews at the start, but after this, they hate him. They hate him now.
How did he get back in?
Well, it's electoral fraud is the only thing I can think of. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's be honest about this.
I'm trying to be careful.
You've got to be happy while they kill us, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You've
got to be cheerful.
That's right. So you know that they were locked up to that 5-kilometre restriction. They weren't allowed to go past 5 kilometres.
I wasn't aware of that, but I knew they were locked down. Yeah, right.
Okay, so yes. So they were allowed to drive 5Ks, that's it. So what I'm seeing now up here in quiet regional Queensland, a lot of Victorians are coming up here to live. And they are so happy to be out of Victoria.
I bet they
and are. Because of Dan Andrews and everything that happened.
Oh.
I've got one client who, lived through the lockups, and she said she had 3 instances where she drove out of the 5 kilometres just to help friends. One girl, her washing machine broke, and she said, "Can you pick up my washing and do it at your place?" And she went, "Yeah, okay." She got pulled up. She ended up, for those three instances, paying $8,000 in fines.
Oh, no, this is just scandalous. And the courts upheld this.
I'm not joking.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. You know, I just feel like I'm living in the twilight zone. I actually hate shopping now. I hate shopping because I have to, like, fight my way. You know, I have to – they keep asking, "You've got a mask?" And, "No, I haven't got a mask, and I'm not putting it on, and don't ask me to." And, you know, I got – there was all – some of those security guys really escalated things, you know. And I was just so tired of it. I just didn't ever want to go shopping ever again. I hate shopping now. Just hate it. I just horrible – I just – don't like going to town. Yes. I used to love shopping. I used to love going to town. Now I hate it. I look at all these people. There's still people masked up in this country, mostly older people. Just they're fearful because the government's got them just continuously hammering them day after day. You know, fearful virus, scary.
And when you research, masks don't work anyway.
No. And they said that they didn't at the start, and then they were told to change their mind. They all said it. Fauci, our guy, Bloomfield, he said, "Oh, you can wear a mask if you like, but it won't do you any good." And now, then all of a sudden, he was saying, "Well, you should wear a mask. It's the droplets."
Change their narrative.
Yeah, change the same their narrative. Thing. Yeah. So they're not listening to science. They're doing what their bosses tell them to do, to say. Aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's very sad. Mm. And so, I just had a spiel as long as my arm because of the research. If I was pulled up through not wearing my mask and I was discovered to them, and I was going to, you know, refer them to the Great Barrington Declaration, 60,000 scientists and doctors that signed. Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of that.
And it was great.
Mm.
And so it's just sad to see people, still here in regional Queensland wearing masks. Not everyone, but a few. Mainly the oldies, you're right.
No.
And I just want to go up to them and say,
"I know,
take it off.
You don't need that, dear." They would look at you like you're a Martian. Hey, Kimberly, where is regional Queensland as opposed to just Queensland?
Okay, so people have probably heard of Rockhampton.
Yeah. Is that like Gladstone? Gladstone.
Yes. Gladstone. So I'm in Boyntown, but it's 20 minutes from Gladstone.
I've got relations. Yeah,
about 5,000.
He's a pilot in Gladstone. Brings in the ships. Brings the ships in at Gladstone. Warwick Bell.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Keep an eye out. It's still a small town.
Yeah. All right. Oh, so you're actually in Gladstone, are you? Or just out of it?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Just out.
Yeah, it is a small world. Yeah. And so do you get a nice sea view where you are?
We don't because of the trees, because we're sort of close to the smelter and I've done like a buffer zone.
Oh, right.
But straight across the road is the sea, but we can't see it for the trees.
Oh, can't see the wood for the trees. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. It's a shame to live so close and you can't see it.
No. We walk the dog on the beach most mornings.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. So 15-minute cities for you and 20-minute cities for us. And I've always wondered why they started on Hamilton. They've really modernised all the motorways and everything's all so quite nice, you know, like very modern motorways. And I wondered whether that's because, well, now I'm sort of started, and all the cycleways, you know, that's all part of the Agenda 21 that Rosa Corey talked about. And so so I never thought it would be this quick. That's very fast. 2048 is very, very quick.
I'm pretty sure. I'm still trying to find the notes for that, but I'm pretty sure I saw
20 years time, so I'll be about 80. Yeah. So, I'll have to take up drinking and smoking or something so I don't have to live through it.
Well, did you hear today Putin's just resigned from the nuclear treaty agreement?
You know, I did hear that. Someone sent me that. That's a little bit scary. So that means that he's preparing for war with America. Look, in a war with America. It's a proxy war with NATO and Russia.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, Putin, for me, Putin's the good guy.
I know.
He's the good guy to me. You might not agree with that, but
absolutely.
I think he's there, absolutely. He's on our side. But when we're the baddies, we are actually on the wrong side, aren't we? We're on the wrong side. We're on the side of NATO and the US.
Yes. And that's scary. He went to the World Economic Forum.
What did he do with the World Economic Forum?
It is, isn't it?
He got out of it.
Very scary.
did you say?
And he gave them the big finger, like Trump did. Trump gave them the big finger too.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, yes. I love what he said. That speech was brilliant. Do you know where I can get hold of the Putin? Did he give a speech as well and give them the big finger? Or did he just not show up?
I'm not sure, but I know. I'll find out. But yeah. I know he walked away.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good, because Klaus Schwab was crowing about, we have Putin is one of our graduates or something. He's going on like that. So, do you know the head of TV News, the head of Television New Zealand, his name is Simon Power. He's a World Economic Forum graduate. So he's running the propaganda arm of New Zealand government, which is the television. They're supposed to be, I know it's state run, but it's supposed to be a fourth estate. All we're getting is just absolute propaganda. If you watch TV or listen to the radio, you've got no idea what's going on. With the cyclone, there's thousands of people dead, thousands of people, thousands missing. They already know there's hundreds of bodies, and they're still saying there's like 12 or 13 people confirmed dead. But and then they question, are there other people that you just haven't identified yet? And they just say, oh no, all we know at this stage is a coronial or something, coroner. So they say like that, and they use these weasel words, and they won't give you the proper information. Like we want to know what's going on, so that we know, so that we have some sort of empathy for these people that are down there. We need to know what's happening, what they're going through, and so you just have to ring people that live down there, and they'll tell you, we've got gangs casing our properties at night. We have to have work all day trying to get all the mud out of the house, and then at night we've got to go on vigilante type things. Just like guarding our own properties with our neighbours, so we don't get robbed by these looters, Maori looters. I'm sorry to say that. But that's what they are. They're gang and gang affiliated, and man alive. And the police are trying to make out it's nothing. Oh, and it's all under control. It's not under control. It's out of control.
It's so sad.
And I wonder why, Kimberly, why are they withholding the numbers? Why are they saying that it's not as bad as what we know it is? Are they looking for a way to present it to us so that they come off looking better? Is it sort of like damage control? Because they know that it's going to be horrendous, and they're just looking for the right way to break it to us so that they look like they're in a good light, the government. I don't know either.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
It's really weird
and scary.
I would just say, hey, look, we think we've got 5,000 people missing. It could be hundreds of people that are killed by this. It could be a few thousand. So we need your prayers and thoughts for these people, and if you can help, come down and help. If you've got, if you can drive a digger, if you can do this, that, and the other, come and help. And there should be sort of like someone that they can liaise with and get them helping. But even just having people in churches, praying for them, but they've made out there's hardly anything wrong. Everything's all honky dory, and there's just a bit of mud and 13 deaths. When we knew that was a helicopter pilot, he saw hundreds of bodies floating in the river, hundreds of bodies. And then the Prime Minister Hipkins says, we've got 11. And that was yesterday, I think it was. 11 confirmed.
Nice.
Yeah, not
why? Not I'm trying to why? You got to think like a communist, maybe?
You don't trust them now. Everything they say is probably a lie until proven that it's not.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I never used to think that. I used to love my country and love my flag and, now I don't trust. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust the health system. I don't trust doctors. I don't trust anyone in authority at all. They're like the enemy now for me. I treat them like I'm in a foreign territory, and that I've got to be very careful. I'm not relaxed like I used to be, and I think that's kind of one of their tricks to get you all fearful. Well, I'm not fearful, but to get you worried, because that can bring on bad health, can't it? You can get disease if you're continuously stressed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes. So you've got to not overdo it. Got to have a bit of fun while we're at it.
My doctor's actually German, so when I go to the doctor, it's just about talking about NATO and how Germany have caused this with the US. And
have you got a good doctor, have you, that you trust just to let go
he's
for
amazing.
A chit? Well, you're lucky.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
At first he was all for the vaccine, and I said, I'm not sure, I took it. And then not long after, he went, nah, this is criminal.
Really?
Criminal. Yeah.
And he didn't get fired?
No. No,
wow, because a lot of them, yeah, no. People I know are doctors, they got the sack. They got the sack for writing prescriptions for exemptions for masks. Got laid off in a practice, told to leave in a part of a practice. Terrible.
I did listen to a doctor on a podcast that did say that type of stuff, just demonized.
Yeah, and that's right.
For speaking up and telling the truth.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. I mean, when I see doctors that won't speak out, you know, they disgust me. You know, I'm really annoyed about it. Like a friend of mine, he's going to a cardiologist. He's got major heart problems. He's 81. But he had this cardiologist for 21 years. He said to him the other day, he said, it's a good thing you didn't take that vaccine. I won't say his name. And he said, because I've got a lot of young people that have visited me now with myocarditis and pericarditis. It's extraordinary. I've never had anything like this before. He said, I think it's the vaccine. But he won't speak out. He's too frightened to go against the medical council.
I heard that podcast. Oh, you were talking about.
Yeah,
but, yeah, I listened
to
that one.
Yeah, I haven't told Dennis that I feel like name. I know the guy's name. One day I'm gonna blast him one of these days. Yeah.
Yes, you do that.
It sickens me.
I know it's hard though, isn't it? Like,
we know we're right, even people that have been vaxxed now saying you guys were right all along. We wish we'd listened to you. You know, I just knew in my heart, no way, not doing anything like that. And my sister had to get vaxxed for her work. She knows it's bad. My daughter, unfortunately, took two jabs for a crazy reason to go to the gym so that she can compete. I don't think that's a good enough reason to risk your life. I couldn't believe it when she told me that. But she knows now. She won't now. She's learned enough. Most people have woken up, I think. A lot of people have woken up, haven't they? Yeah, it's not so much woken up, it's more just new in receipt of new information. You know, you change your mind when you get new information. Yeah, because they were withholding it.
Have you been hearing from Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough?
I have, the cardiologist. I have listened to him. Yes, he's good.
Yes. Now, I hear that he's the scientist on the right side coming up with a natokinase. It's an fermented soybean, and it looks like the enzyme is breaking down the spike protein and disintegrating the blood clots.
Brilliant. And so he's pushing. He's introducing that, and so people that have been vaccinated need to have that stuff. And so that's through Peter McCullough. Does he have a website? You know, I'll just scan. I'll just look him up. I'll find
him. Sorry, Peter McCullough. He's actually just been over here and done a talk on COVID and the vaccines.
Excellent.
I didn't get to go to it. It was on the Gold Coast. I would have loved to.
He's probably banned from our country. We ban people that are good like that. It's terrible. That guy Avi. We banned Avi. We stopped Avi from coming here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're crazy, isn't it? We're a crazy country. When did you leave New Zealand? When did you finally get out?
19 years.
19?
Yeah.
Right.
19 years I've been over here.
Lucky you.
I'm 54 now, so. Mm. Yeah. Lucky you. I don't know if we're going down a road here either, but.
Mm. Oh, well, let's hope. Well, we've got to stand up and fight. So, hey, I appreciate you telling me about this 15-minute cities. Is there anything that you want to just make sure that we fully understand what it is, and to watch out for the gradual stuff, like what are the signs when we see stuff written, when they spin it to us in the newspaper, what do we need to watch out for?
I think it's just understanding that they're making it look amazing. Like when I look at this and what they want to do, it's community, you know, and how they're going to sort transport, you know, reduce unnecessary and unwanted travel and promote a model shift away from private vehicles, but you know they'll take up electric bikes, and you know you'll be able to use all of that, and there'll be more trees and vegetation, and you know diverse groups and blah blah blah. Oh, there, by 2038, more than 50%. Oh, here, okay, sorry. Let me just read this. By 2038, more than 50% of Aotearoa, their words, New Zealand, will identify as Māori, Pacifica or Asian, which must be recognised with a hyper-local approach. Okay, so I thought that might be something about when they were actually doing this. Yeah, no, 2048 for the cities. I've just seen that. Yeah, I think it's just understanding that it looks good, but underneath it, they are globalists. The company's globalist. And you've got to maybe, when you're listening to what's happening around the world, understand that what's happening in, say, America or Europe will come to us if it's part of the global plan. And if you are hearing something that's not so great on the other side of the world, it's coming your way.
Yeah.
Because of the global, I think it's, yeah, trying to make people understand that, you know, like, because a lot of people say, why do you care that you listen to so much of American politics? I'm like, because it's coming our way.
Exactly. Yes.
So,
they want to do away
to understand.
With, sorry, they want to do away with the nation state and form a one world government.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just understanding that this, you know, you've got to look at your life and understand how often you use your car and understand that you won't have a car. Understand that there won't be shops. It'll be online shopping. They talk about, you know, caring for you with GPs, but you'll be doing your GP online. You'll be talking to them online. Well, how does that work? And they say, oh, that's just for non-serious stuff. But who knows what's serious until it happens? Like, usually my doctor will press on my stomach to see what's going on, to see if I've got a lump that's cancer. How does that work online? It's just all these things that go through my head. I go, how does this work?
Well, it's, they don't care about us. They actually hate us. They don't care.
Absolutely.
That's why.
To understand... Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. I used to always question, like, okay, so if you look at America, Biden has done some horrific things in that country, and you go, or the regime, Biden's a puppet, but, and you go, why is it that they're doing that? It doesn't make sense, because that hurts people. And then you start to realize that that's what the globalists want. So if people can understand that they're not doing anything that is in your interest, and they don't care if they hurt us and our families.
No. Because we're not elite. We haven't got the bloodline. We're just...
No.
Yeah. And you know what? Those politicians, they'll do away with them too. They're just useful idiots, I think. Because they're nobody.
Not elite enough.
Who are they?
No, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
Not elite enough.
So
they
15,
think they are. They think they're on the right side, but they're not.
So with Bill Gates buying up... all that land in America, he's got the largest farm owner in America at the moment. So what's he going to do with those farms? Is he going to put terrariums or, you know, greenhouses or something there and farm?
Well, he's certainly not going to farm it. I think he's going to put crickets on it, isn't he? We're all going to be eating bugs. Eat the bug.
I thought my idea was that he was going to have really expensive, you know, luxury vegetables and meat for the elite to eat, but it'll be so expensive to grow it because it'll all have to be done indoors because our environment will be ruined with the sequestration machine sucking the CO2 out of the atmosphere, so we won't be able to grow anything. All our crops will fail, and they'll have to grow it inside these greenhouses, and that'll be expensive, and so we won't be able to afford to eat. We'll have to have crickets. grow in our garden, in our little unit on the 24th floor or the 100th floor or something.
Yeah. My father would be turning in his grave. He was a butcher.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, no, I love meat.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of meat. Yeah. I eat a lot of it, you know.
Yeah, we eat it.
Yeah.
Same.
It's good for you. And you lose weight when you eat a lot of meat and don't eat so much of the old mash and potatoes and vegetables.
It's a good point to be on.
Nothing like a bit of meat. Nothing like beef and lamb. So,
absolutely.
This is good. Well, 15-minute cities, and so we just got to watch out for it. So they're going to sell it to especially the young people because it's going to be people that are in their 30s now or even 20s. They're going to be the ones that are going to be coaxed into this because we'll be off to the morgue, won't we? You know, off to the wherever.
Absolutely.
Probably a proper burial will be illegal. They'll just have to burn you and put you in a little box or something. You know, scatter your ashes somewhere out on the farmland. Oh, horrendous. Oh, so it's like these devil possessed people are running the world, isn't it? It's like demon possessed people.
Yeah, it's a very evil time in history. Mm. But I must say, Grant, as much as it worries me terribly, it's an interesting time to live through, too.
Okay. And what keeps you sane? Well, I mean, how you've got pretty good attitude about all this. How come you're not sort of a nervous wreck?
I just believe that as much as there's a lot of evil out there, there's as many good people wanting to do good stuff. So I just feel like we will go through some horrendous stuff, but I feel like we'll win. And I don't know why, I just feel like we will win, because I think there's more of us that will wake up, and they're very scared of us waking up. The globalists don't want us to wake up, and we're starting to more and more. And I think as that happens, they lose power.
Yes.
And I just feel like they'll get, I don't believe that, and let's hope they don't get CBDCs up. If they get the CBDCs, then I might not be as
What's the CBDCs? What's that?
Central Bank Digital Currency.
Oh, yeah, I'll be knackered.
Have you looked at CBDC?
Oh, I'll have to go. I'll be going bush. I'll be living like Robin Hood.
Because you won't be able to. I might not be so positive if that gets up.
No, I don't want to have to choose between. Oh, no. And the trouble is I do everything on my card, you know, I shouldn't. I don't do enough with cash. I should really be doing more. And, you know, when we had the big cyclone, they were only saying, we can only take cash. So that is good, because in a way that's a good reason for us to be able to say, hey, listen, we have to have cash in our as part of our mix, because when something like that cyclone happens, the only way you could actually buy things was with cash. So there's no way we're letting you do it. And I think that's a good reason to say, you know, your FPOS won't work when there's a storm knocked everything out.
Good, because I remember COVID, we had and you probably had it too, where the stores were saying we don't take cash.
Yes. And now they're saying they don't take FPOS.
And then I came over to New Zealand with cash when Jacinda opened up.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll get over and see my family straight away, because I don't know how long she'll stay open for.
Yeah.
And I went over and I couldn't find a bank. Banks don't take cash now. And that was last year in April, I think it was. And I was like, what do you mean? You can't transfer this money over and into your currency. And she said, no, we don't do it anymore.
Was that at the airport?
But I don't know that the airport, I'm not sure about the airport, but just, you know, it used to be all the banks in Wellington, you know, you could take your cash into any bank.
Any bank.
And they'd transfer it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it. So I had to go to a TravelX.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a currency exchange.
That would do it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed they started charging me if I want cash or I want to bring cash in, they would charge you a fee. That was 4 years ago, so they probably won't even take cash at all now. I don't know. I'll have to find out. Mm. We're talking to Kimberly Walker. We're talking to Kimberly Walker in regional Queensland, Gladstone. Beautiful place. I've never been there, but I hear it's good. Yeah, and you left good old New Zealand 20 years ago, and you're glad you did. And and that's terrible. But so you're going to keep us up to date with these 15-minute cities and anything else that you know, because you've got a very good way of you're very good at describing things and a good communicator, Kimberly. So it'd be lovely if you could keep me up to date. Yeah, anything.
Yeah, I will.
Anytime you want to come on and talk, just come on and talk, and I'll just roll the recording.
Okay.